Oh, I love Jesus. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm in love with a man. His name's Jesus. Amen. Just got to tell you, I love him. I love him, I love him, I love him. Praise God. Saved my life, changed my life, turned me around. Glory to God. Jesus made a way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray as we get into the Word this morning. Father, we're so grateful and so thankful. Oh, we love you, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say it, Father. I'm not ashamed to let the world know that I am sold out. I am all in with you. You are so good, Father. You are so loving and merciful. Father, the fact that you would send your Son and the fact that Jesus, you would be willing to do it, to go to the cross so that I could have eternal life, so that I could become the child of the Most High God, so that I could become blessed and healed and free in my mind and body. You did that for me. You did that for mankind. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful and so grateful. And Father, you didn't leave us down here to wonder and to wander. No, you gave us your Word. Your Word is a spiritual GPS. Father, we have time before we go to be with you. And Father, you don't want us to navigate down here through sadness and despair, through hurt and sickness and poverty. That's why you gave us your Word. And Father, we thank you for the Word, that it brings light into our life. It sheds light in the dark places and shows us what we need to change, what we need to do, how we can get out of what we're in, how we can live and walk victoriously. So, Father, thank you for the Word this morning. I thank you as I open my mouth, you're going to fill it with words from heaven. I thank you I will speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom. And I thank you, Father, there will be a demonstration of the Spirit and power in this place this morning. And we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it. Father, we thank you. Every heart will be touched here this morning. Something will be said that will strike a chord in every single person, and they'll say, my goodness, that was just for me. And Father, it'll be a sign unto them that you're real. It'll be a sign unto them that you love them. And it'll be a sign unto them that this is a safe place where people can come and hear from you. And Father, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to John chapter 10 and verse 10 if you would. Praise God. We know this verse, but we won't spend a lot of time here. We got into some things last Sunday. One of the little tangents I went off on, and just, you know, one of those vein popping, spit flying ones, you know, that they come out every once in a while, you know. That's why we try to keep you back far enough so you don't get peppered. Peppered with white foam, you know, it just comes out, floats right down to the ground, you know, and But I said some things, and I made mention that there was a message that had been coming down the pipeline that God had been dealing with me about. I just hadn't had the release to preach it. Well, when I did that and said that last week and throughout the week, the door opened in the spirit realm to walk through there and to minister that. And so it's going to be probably a two-parter this week and next week. And you know, it's awesome because when God does that, it's kind of like, you know, you take home a steak from the grocery store and you can take it right out of the wrapper and throw it on the grill and it'll taste good. But if you put it in a marinade for 2 days and then you put it on the grill, it tastes better. And so this stuff's been just marinating and stewing in me for I don't know how many months now, and I've just been waiting for the release. So today it's coming. Amen. So John chapter 10 and verse 10 says this. It says, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. If you could go to the Amplified of that, please. If you pull up the Amplified version of that. Hallelujah. I want to wait because I want everyone to see it. Praise the Lord. Someone show her how to put up the Amplified, please. Praise God. Well, I'll just look at here on my iPad and read it to you. Praise the Lord. It says this, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and to destroy. He said, I've come that they might have, now this is what I want you to get, have and enjoy life. Amen. Have and enjoy life. Everybody say enjoy life. And have it in abundance to the full, till overflow. So what he's saying here is that I've come to give you an abundant, overflowing, enjoyable life. He said, I didn't die so you'd have misery and sadness and despair and be disgruntled and be frustrated and gripe and moan and groan and complain and, you know, always waiting for their shoe to fall. No, he said, I've come to give you life, an enjoyable life, and have it in abundance. Praise God. Now go with me to Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 10. And we'll pull that up in the King James, please, at first to start. And I'll get it on here just in case our mouse freezes back there. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Are we having trouble with the computer? Okay. That's why we bring our Bibles to church, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God. Because technology, you can't always depend on technology. But it says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained. Now listen to what it says in the Amplified. Let's go to the Amplified of that, please, if it's working. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good work which God predestined, which God predestined, which God predestined, which God planned beforehand for us. Now notice this, taking paths which He prepared. You see that there? He's saying to you, I have prepared a path for you. Now look at that path is. That we should walk in them, living the good life, which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. So John chapter 10 and verse 10, and Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, they sound a lot alike. He said, I've come to give you an enjoyable, overflowing, enjoyable life. He says in Ephesians 2, I've come to give you a life that's the good life. But he says the good life is attached to His path and His plan. It's not attached to your way, your thinking, your thoughts, your desires, your purposes. He said, if you want to, as a natural human being, walk in a world where the devil sits on the throne, where the devil is the god of this world who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you want to walk in that world and live a good life, an enjoyable life, what does that look like? No depression, no fear, no anxiety, no stress, no poverty, no sickness, blessing, abundance, overflow. He said, if you want that, you're going to have to do it on My path. On My plan. That's the only place that's associated with the good life, the enjoyable life, the abundant life, is on His path. Amen? Hallelujah. Now I'm here to tell you something. This life is actually possible. It is actually possible. Now I know, with the way many Christians are, and the way many people are, that they think there's no way. Life is a grind. Life is just eking by. Life is stress after stress, trial after trial, crisis after crisis, hardship after hardship. I know what people think. I know how people talk. I know what people expect. Always waiting for the other shoe to fall. Disgruntled in life. Lost their purpose. Just get by. I know people think that that's the way it needs to be, but I'm here to tell you, as living proof, this life is available. How do I know? I'm living it, and many others that I know are living it. I enjoy my life. I have abundant good living all the time. I wake up with an expectation. What's God going to do today? What's God going to do around the next quarter? What's over the next hill of blessing? Praise God. When trials and tests come to me, and they come as fiery darts, they come as walls and mountains that look so hard and hot and pressure-packed, I know God's getting me through it. And I know I'm coming out on the other side better than ever before. I am living proof that this is possible, and many of you are the same way. But let's face it, many of you have lost your purpose, have lost your way, and are thinking, what's the point? It seems like such a struggle. Everything seems so hard. Is it ever going to change? It will change when you get on His path for your life. That's where the good life is. That's where the enjoyable life is. Hallelujah. Let me give you an example that the Lord gave me that will help you. I believe it's going to change your life this week and next week. You know, if you've ever been to a zoo and you've ever watched animals maybe on National Geographic or the Discovery Channel or Animal Planet, you know, and I've been to zoos and, you know, you see tigers and you see lions. And they're behind, they're in a little opening, but they maybe have from that wall to pace back and forth, and maybe from that wall, maybe they have an enclosure this big, they're behind a cage or they're in an opening and you're elevated where you can see them from a safe place. And I've watched those animals and I've observed those animals. And then, you know, I've seen shows where you see tigers and lions that are out free and they're roaming around. And I don't know about you, but there's something different. You know, they look similar, but there's something different about the animal that's in the cage from the animal that's out running free. Think about it this way. A tiger's purpose, a lion's purpose, was never to be in an enclosure this small. His purpose was never meant for that. A tiger's purpose, a lion's purpose, was never meant to have somebody throw scraps to them to get their food. They have hunting instincts and they enjoy doing it. They have a desire and a need to do that. Well, when they're in that cage, it's taken away. It's taken away. And so because they're not living and walking according to their purpose, it might look, it looks like a lion. There's similarities, but something's different. It's the same way with the Christian. The born-again Christian that's not walking in their purpose, that's not walking in their God-given purpose, the plan that God, ladies and gentlemen, God specifically, He said, I knew you, Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb. Well, if He knew Jeremiah, He certainly knew all of us. He said, I've ordained you, Jeremiah, as a prophet to the nations. When you were in your mother's belly, I gave you a plan. Well, when you were all in your mama's belly, God said, I have a destiny. I have a calling. I have a specific plan for them on earth. And that plan is associated and has abundant, enjoyable, good life attached to it. But many Christians have never found out, have never taken the time, have never consecrated themselves to God's purpose. And so they're like that animal in that cage. There's something about them that kind of looks like a blessed Christian, but it doesn't look the same from the other Christian on the outside who's fulfilling their purpose, waking up every day with a fire inside them. Amen. You know it's true. Hallelujah. And so I want to help you this morning because God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you that not only affects the kingdom of God and His plan and His purpose, which will ultimately affect human beings and blessing them, but that plan is also attached for your personal well-being, for your personal enjoyment, for your personal blessing. And so many people are not on the purpose, and that's why they get disgruntled in life. That's why when it's like you're always, just can't get it. It's just never enough. Oh, just someday I'll be happy. Oh, just someday it'll be okay. You don't have a purpose. You're not in your purpose. I'm in my purpose, ladies and gentlemen. I'm walking it every day. I know what God's called me to do. I know what God has for my life, and I'm chasing it, and I'm running after it. And I don't feel unfulfilled. So many people feel so unfulfilled in life. Like, well, just all this is just a waste of time. This church is just a waste of time. This serving God is just a waste of time. No, no, no. It's because you're not on your purpose. When you're doing things God's way, there's nothing about it that's a waste of time. There's nothing about it that's boring. There's nothing about it that's just, it's awesome and wonderful to know that you're doing what the God of the universe has called you to do and attached to its blessing. Go to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. I want to help you this morning. God is good and He loves you so much. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. Start bringing your Bibles to church, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes I'm just tempted to just cut this all off because I think people just rely on it too much. No, we need to bring the Word of God with us to church. Now, if you haven't today, don't beat yourself up. My goodness, there are times I've gone to church, haven't brought my Bible, you know. Bring your Bible to church. It's the Word of God. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 1. There's just something about seeing it in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19 says, If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. The Message Bible says this: if you'll willingly obey, you'll feast like kings. Think about a king. They eat well, don't they? They also dress well. They also drive well. They also live in well. They also have favor in their life. What does Romans chapter 5 say? It says that God gave us Jesus. By one man's offense, death reigned. But that those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Jesus. The Bible says your purpose is to be somebody that reigns. What does a king do? A king reigns. And He said, if you'll be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Or the Message Bible says, if you'll willingly obey, you'll feast like kings. Well, if you'll feast like kings, you'll wear like kings, you'll live like kings. Your whole life will be a blessed life, is what He's trying to say. But notice this, there's qualifications. Many Christians are not qualified for the good of the land. He told you in the very first word that it hinged on something. He said, if, that means it's not going to automatically happen. If you'll be willing and obedient, the result of that will be you will eat the good of the land. Now, here's why I want to show you this morning. Because what I'm trying to tell you and point out to you is that God has a purpose. God has a plan for your life. In that plan is all the blessings. In God's plan is where the money is. In God's plan is where the healing is. In God's plan. You just keep staying outside of it. And keep struggling year after year, frustration after frustration, disgruntled after disgruntled. Why? The money's found in the plan. The healing's found in the plan. The favor's found in the plan. The blessing for your children is found in the plan. That's where it is. Outside the plan, He's not obligated outside the plan. He said, here's the plan. I've made it for you. Partake of it, praise God. Hallelujah. And so what I want you to see this morning is this verse tells you to be willing and obedient. But here's the thing. You can't be obedient to the plan if you're not first willing, if you're not first willing. You first have to become willing to say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of being that caged animal. Looking out at everybody else's blessings. Looking out at everyone else. Doing things my own way. Living for my own self. Not even checking in with headquarters. Father, are you pleased with me? Is this what you have for me? Am I doing what you want me to do? People don't even check in with Him. What God has become is, God's become this just little vending machine. That people just want to go to Him when they need something. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name's Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me, God. Heard Brother Hagin say that once. This is so true. That's what people do. He's just my heavenly vending machine. What about, Father, am I doing this right? Am I pleasing you? See, we don't have an eternal perspective. An eternal perspective would stop you from worrying about not having the nicest car the neighbor has. Right. Well, I don't have the nice house. They get to do all this stuff, and they do all this stuff, and I don't have this, and my house looks like this, and this, blah, 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 blah. It's a never-ending yip-yap show. Is what it is. You know, your purpose, when you get your purpose in life, see, your eyes are on the wrong thing. Yeah. Your eyes need to be northward to heaven, praise God. Hallelujah. But you need to get to a place where you're consecrated. Well, I want to show you in the Word here. Go to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I want to show you in the Word a couple examples of people that just refused to do it their God's way. Hallelujah. Oh, Jonah, where are you? Found them last night. Someone yell out the page number. I know you have a Bible like me. Someone with a Bible like this one. Oh, Jonah. There you are. 9:16. Hallelujah. Look what it says in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. Now remember, God's got a path. God's got a plan for you. I'm just going to say it this way. Some of you have been living years. You never even checked in. You never even bothered to ask. You never even found out. Well, let me tell you something. Number one, don't get into condemnation. Number two, it's not too late. It's not too late. Get on the path. What's the path? The path of blessing, the path of doing it God's way. I want to show you something. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, verse 2, go to Nineveh. Go to that great city and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, the wages of sin is death. Well, God didn't want judgment to fall on Nineveh, so he said, Jonah, go and tell them they need to repent. Go tell them they need to get right. God's merciful, isn't he? It says, but Jonah, so here we have God's plan, Jonah's plan. God's plan is, Jonah, go to Nineveh. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid a fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So God said, Jonah, this is what I have for you. Now remember, in that path and that plan is attached abundant life. In that path and that plan is the good life. The blessings of God, the willing and obedient, the good of the land is found in the Nineveh plan. But Jonah did his own thing, went his own way. Now, we don't have time to look there, but we know from Sunday school the rest of the story. Jonah ends up on a boat, right? Jonah ends up on a boat and a great storm comes. And the people end up getting upset and frustrated. They throw Jonah overboard, don't they? And God in his mercy sends a great fish. He'd have drowned it if he didn't. Sends a great fish and gobbles Jonah up. And Jonah's in the belly of the whale, like we call it. And in that place, when you're in the belly of the whale, that is the epitome of frustration. That is the epitome of the daily grind. That is the epitome of what's the point? And it has a way of changing you. Some of you here today need to get so sick and tired of being sick and tired. How long are you going to live this way, folks? How long are you going to keep waddling around outside the blessing of God, not experiencing the abundant life, the joy that your pastor has? And by the way, I got it years before I ever became a pastor. So don't let some stupid thought from the devil come in you and say, well, you're a pastor, of course. No. God called me to be a pastor, but within that calling was my good life, my blessed life, because that was my path. And I got into it. How long are you going to keep doing it? The struggle, the frustration. Isn't it about time it ends? Amen. It doesn't work out well for you that way. And the Bible says Jonah went and did his own thing. Ends up, gets spit out, you know, smells like whale puke. I mean, think about it. You keep living that way, your life will stink. You live a stinky life. Amen. It's just the truth. And Jonah eventually ends up obeying. Now here's the interesting thing. When he got spit out, God didn't change his mind. Maybe some of you have been told something years ago and you disobey it. God hasn't changed his mind. God has something for your life. Doesn't mean everyone's going to be called to the ministry. Doesn't mean everybody's going to be called to be a pastor or a travel minister. But what does God have for you? Hallelujah. So Jonah didn't do it God's way. It didn't work out. He said, I'm not going to go that path, and it wasn't good for him. I remember Dr. Summerall. Dr. Summerall was, you know, we've read some of his books for when we have the book of the month. And Dr. Summerall was a mighty apostle who was under people like Smith Wigglesworth, who was a mighty apostle of faith, who had many signs, wonders, and miracles in his ministry. And Dr. Summerall did as well and helped so many people over in the Philippines, had so many miracles, signs, and wonders following him. He was friends with people like Brother Hagin, just a mighty man of faith. And he didn't want to be a preacher. He knew that that was God's calling for his life and didn't want it. Well, the Lord gave him a vision, showed him a Bible, and I believe it was a deathbed. It was either that or the cemetery. He gave him a choice anyways in a vision. He said, you got a choice. Preach the Bible or die. Now, that's not God killing Dr. Summerall. That's God saying, the blessing is on the path. You keep going off the path and not doing it my way, it's going to lead to nothing good in your life. That's where the devil can get you, is off the path, off the plan. He gave him a choice. Well, I'll tell you, that's a pretty easy choice. The wages of sin. What is sin? Sin is just simple disobedience to God. The wages of that will eventually lead to death in your life, death in your finances, death in your mind, death in your peace, and ultimately death in your life. Eventually, it will. Hallelujah. Gave him a choice. Go to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. What am I trying to lay a groundwork? That God's way is best. Genesis 13. God can't just be your little blessing vending machine. You know? He's got so much more for you. Genesis 13. Let's go to verse 5. This is talking about Abraham and Lot. Abraham was Lot's uncle, so Lot was his nephew, and they were blessed. It says in verse 5. In verse 2, it said that Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. He's very, very wealthy, very prosperous. Verse 5 says, Lot also, his nephew, which went with Abram, he also had flocks, herds, and tents. So he was also living a very blessed life, no doubt, whose connection was to. No doubt that he's in the family that Abraham's in, and he's reaping that blessing of that connection. Amen? It matters who you're connected to. We need to be connected right, amen? But look what it says here, in the land, verse 6, was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance, their stuff, was so great that they could not dwell together. They had so much prosperity. Listen, the guy that God called to cut covenant through had so much prosperity. God doesn't have a problem with prosperity, ladies and gentlemen. God has a problem when prosperity has a hold of you. He's a God of prosperity. It doesn't bother him. He's not tripped up by it. He says it was not able to bear them. Their substance was so great they could not dwell together. Verse 7. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, now we get a picture of who Abraham is here. This is before God changed his name, so Abram. He said, let there be no strife, I pray, between me and you. Well, doesn't the New Testament tell us that where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work? Abraham was a wise spiritual man to say, we got to cut this strife out. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a strife stirrer-upper, you know what you are? You are a devil inviter. Yeah. You're one of those people that stir it up, that people got to walk on eggshells around because we don't want to set you off. You're a devil inviter. Where strife and envy are, there's confusion and every evil work. You want to constantly be that thorn in somebody's side? Constantly gripe and moan and complain and be a jealous person, be a person who stirs things up all the time? You're opening the windows and saying, hey, devil, come on in. Touch my finances. Touch my kids. Touch my business. Touch my jobs. That's what the Bible says over there in James. Abraham knew. He said, we got to cut this strife business out. Do whatever you can to get strife out of your life. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. He said, let there be no strife between me and you, I pray, between my herd and your herd, for we're brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If you will take to the left hand, then I will go to the right. If you will depart to the right, then I will go to the left. Verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Oh, man. Smart move, Lot. Lifted up his eyes to God. That's not what it says. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. It was so wonderful, so filled with blessing, it was comparable to the Garden of Eden, which was nothing but blessing. Like the land of Egypt as thou comest unto Zoar. So now think about this. Lot is encountered with something I truly believe, and I believe we can back it up with other scripture about right connections and blessing and having people over you and things like that. I believe Lot should have never left Abraham. I believe he should have cut some of the stuff out and stayed with the blessing. Yeah. Now, the Bible doesn't specifically tell us that. Again, we can look at other things. But regardless if that's true or not, Lot should have looked to heaven. Yeah. When he has a... Because now Lot's encountering something where he's in a crossroads. He doesn't know which way is God's plan. Is it to stay with Abraham? Is it go to the front? Is it go to the right? Is it go to the left? Is it to go this way? He never even checked in. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, how many times do we make humongous decisions in our lives? And the reason we did is because we looked. And it seemed so good. And it sounded so good. And it was so tickling to our eyes and our flesh and our senses. And we never asked God, is this your plan? Well, what did Lot do? He looked and saw a land that looked good. But we know the end of the story. That place Lot went was a place of hell on earth. Why? Lot chose it, and what happened? His wife dies. He ends up being captured, and Abraham has to swoop in and save him. He ends up in a perverted situation, a backward situation, in a cave with his two daughters. Study it out. Because we got young in your ears in here, I won't even go into what happened with him. Abraham's life, yet, was blessed, highly favored. The blessing of Abraham, a covenant of healing and a covenant of prosperity. Why? Abraham was a different man than Lot. Yet the Bible calls Lot righteous, calls Abraham righteous. But you know what Lot was? He was the animal in the cage. Yeah. He had a somewhat appearance of being God's and blessings of God. But Abraham was the lion out roaming and running free. Why? What was the difference though? Abraham, get up and leave everything you know. Yes, sir. He didn't ask, where am I supposed to go, Lord? Lord just said, go. He said, okay, I'll go. If you tell me to go right, I'll go right. If you tell me to go left, I'll go left. Yeah. That was Abraham. Abraham was the guy. Abraham, take the son that you love, up on the mountain and sacrifice him. Yes, sir, let's go, boy. Didn't he question God? He didn't say, I don't want that plan. I don't want that path for my life. No. He trusted God enough to know that whatever God's plan was, it was blessing. What would Lot do? Not, Father, what do you have for me? Lot said, ooh, I likey. That looks good. His life got ruined because of it. Jonah's life got messed up because he wouldn't do God's path. Lot's life got messed up because he wouldn't do God's plan. You know, your pastor, me, that's me. I'm that guy. Let me tell you a little testimony. I got born again January 10th, 2002. And I got into a church like this with my pastor. And I'd never heard preaching like that. I'd never seen someone so joyful. I had friends that were just excited about God, living in blessings. Things were happening, miracles, signs and wonders, and their faith was working, and unexpected blessings coming in, and healing when they needed it. And I just was watching that. I said, man, that is awesome. I want that. But I wasn't experiencing it. You know, I was still depressed, still filled with anxiety and fear. Still sick in body all the time and broke financially, just to tell you the truth. As a Christian, I was God's child. What was I? I was in the cage. I was his child, and I had the appearance of some things, but just wasn't the same as the other people that were outside the cage looking in. And I started to get frustrated. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. This person, and then there's me. So I know it's not a matter of you love them more. And that you don't love me as much, what is it? Well, he started dealing with me about Isaiah 1 and verse 19. You'll be willing and obedient. Eat the good of the land. I wasn't eating the good of the land. I wasn't living the good of the land. He said, willing and obedient. So I started to, Lord, what do you mean? What am I not willing and obedient? What am I not willing to do? And then it came up. You know, we laugh about it, but for those of you that don't know, I was terrified to give my life. See, Jesus became my Savior, but he had not yet become my Lord. And that's the way it is for a lot of Christians. Oh, save me, but I don't want that Lord business. Because that Lord business is a business of submission. That Lord business is a life of, I'll do it your way. Hallelujah, which we'll address that in a few minutes here. But anyway, so I said, Lord, what is it? He said, you're not willing to go to China or Africa for me. Because I was convinced that when I sold out to God and gave him my life, that the first thing he was going to say is, okay, you're called to be a missionary to China, Africa. And just where I was at that time of my life, I didn't know anything, and about the protection of God and the plan of God. I was so terrified that that's what he was going to call me to do, that I would not surrender my life. Well, I was on the outside looking in. The path was, whatever it was the path was first found in being willing and surrendering, and I would have found out that path if I surrendered, but I thought the path was China or Africa. But even if it was China or Africa, that's where the healing would have been. That's where the money would have been. That's where the peace would have been. That's where the protection would have been. But I was on the outside because of fear, and I didn't surrender. Well, I was so, again, somebody got to get to this place. So sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was driving to the general store in Falkirk, New York, about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to get there. I believe it was 4:30 because I had to open the store by 5. Get the coffee going for people, just a little gas station, a convenience store. And get the coffee ready and all the breakfast food for people. And I'm just frustrated, you know. Not making hardly any money, got debt up to my eyeballs, just sick all the time. Yeah, other people, and I'm hearing about this health business, this prosperity business. I'm frustrated. I finally just, Lord kept dealing with me. Isaiah 119, Isaiah 119, Isaiah 119, Isaiah 119, Isaiah 119, Isaiah 119, Isaiah 119. Just so you know, whatever you're not willing to do is keeping you on the outside. Just the truth. Being willing doesn't mean you have to do it. I haven't still been to China. Still haven't been to Africa. But you know what happened in the truck that day? I got mad and I slammed my hands on that steering wheel. I said, fine! I'll do it! I'll go to China or Africa. If that's what you want. I don't want it. But if that's what you want, I'll do it. Well, what did I do that day? Surrendered. Hands up in the air. Father, I'm yours. I surrender. Well, it was either the next service or the service after that. I was in church, you know, and I remember during that time I had just come off of 2 years and 26 jobs, 4 or 5 different colleges, speech pathologist, therapist, gym teacher, regular teacher, professional fisherman, you name it. Now you wonder why my parents thought I was crazy. I said, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to Oklahoma to be a preacher. They said, ah, God, he's crazy. I'm not giving him a penny. I'm not giving him a penny. I didn't blame him, praise God. And I said, I'll do it. Well, it was the next service, or the service after that, I was in my pastor's service in Fredonia. And he gave a salvation call. Heads were bowed, eyes were closed. And I had surrendered to God and didn't know what to do with my life. I'd gone to college and different things. You know, that's why it's important. What is God's plan? Because God's plan, there's not some perfect mold for every single person for God's plan. What one person's plan doesn't mean it's the other person. One person might be college, one person might not be college. One person might be a trade school, one person might not be a trade school. One person might be this. You just don't know. That's why you find out from heaven. We get out of here and we get into here. Amen. And I've been wondering, what in the world am I going to do with my life? I've tried every major. I've tried everything. I've tried every job. Nothing satisfies me. I always feel unfulfilled. And heads were bowed, eyes were closed, and I heard the audible voice of God. I heard it as if someone said this out loud in a service like it would be today. Said, go to Rhema. Well, Rhema was the Bible school that my pastor went to and that Brother Hagin started down in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Well, when that was said, I surely thought someone had yelled that out. And I looked up and looked around. Everybody's heads were bowed and eyes were closed. My pastor didn't miss a beat. He's still pacing up front giving the salvation call. And I thought, surely, if somebody would have yelled that out, it would have caught somebody's attention. Didn't catch anybody's. My pastor didn't skip a beat. I knew then in my spirit that it was the voice of God telling me. But isn't it interesting he didn't tell me until I surrendered? Because why tell you if you're not even willing to do it, right? I got chills, man. The tears started flowing because I finally, for the first time in my life, had purpose. For the first time in my life, I knew what I was destined and born to do. I knew what God had created me for. And I didn't know the full plan. I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. But I knew I had direction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise. But this is my point, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we're going to finish out the service with today. Is God has a path and a plan. It's good. We've seen it in the Word. God's path and plan is the best. We've seen people that have done it and people that haven't done it, and it pays to do it. But to get onto that path, the first thing you're going to need to do is to become willing. You are going to have to consecrate yourselves to His path and plan. If you want to truly fulfill your God-given destiny, how horrible is it going to be to get to heaven and He say, my God, child, I had this for you. I had this for you. You were meant to do this. Imagine if someone like Brother Hagin would have never said yes. Imagine if someone like Dr. Summerall would have never said yes. Imagine if someone like Pastor Nancy Dufresne would have never said yes. All that would have been lost. all that would have gone unfulfilled. Amen. It's the truth. And the first thing, and I'm going to help you with this today, closing out this service with the few minutes that we have remaining, is to help you to get consecrated, that you walk out of here and say, Father, and maybe you're dead smack in the middle of His will. Great. But I'm guessing that the Lord gave me this message and had it stirring around in my heart because so many people are the caged animal. And they're pacing back and forth and banging into the wall wondering, why isn't it different? Why isn't it different? It's hard and tough. That's not enjoyable, abundant, good life. And so I want to help you today to consecrate yourself, because the beginning to God's way for your life is consecration. It's found in surrender. Lord, okay, here I am. Father, I've not even ever checked in with you. I've never even found out. I've been doing it my own way. Father, what do you want me to do in life? What do you have me? What is my purpose on this earth? It starts with consecration. Now, next week, we're going to look at what the Word says about getting on the plan. Because before God's going to start giving you go to Rhema words, you first got to do the Word of what He says is the start of His path and plan. And so many people are so missing the ball even on that. Let me just give you an appetizer, as I called it last night. You know what an appetizer is, right? It's before the meal. I'm giving you an appetizer before next meal, but it's a teaser. Come on, tease you a little bit. Not make fun of you, but tease you what's come next week. You're going to see in the Word. You want to be in God's plan and God's purpose? The center of your life must be the local church. And anything else of faithfulness to the local church and the things that are involved, you'll see it in the Word. You can't be outside of the local church, out from underneath a pastor and not under a pastor, and expect to fill God's plan for your life, because that is God's plan for your life. He gave you a shepherd in a local church to get you to fulfill all that He has for you. And if you keep balking at it and bucking the system and thinking you're going to do it your own way and be faithful every 6-7 weeks and think that you're going to find out God's plan for your life and fulfill it, you are dead wrong and deceived. It doesn't work that way. People say, oh, I don't know. No. The Word is God's plan. If the Word says it, then that's His plan, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. It's just the truth. Praise God. That's just the truth of the way it is. And so many people say, oh, yeah, I want to be a blessed and abundant life apart from the local church. That's not how it works. They that be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. Planted, the ones that are planted in the house of the Lord. On this church business. No, you're missing the point. If the center, you'll see it here. You'll see it. So go with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. I want to show you three verses and we'll close it out. Matthew 6, 33. Praise God. I mean, we can't first do what's written on the page. How do we expect to get go to Rhema type words? You know why I got a go to Rhema type word? Because I was planted. I was in the right place to hear. Amen. I was in the right environment. I was being taught how to hear. I was being taught how to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I was being taught these things, how to divide my thoughts from the world's thoughts and God's thoughts and know what God... I was in the right place being taught. I was being shepherded. Praise God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, seek first. See, there's an order. And He says, at the top of the list, this is what I want you to do. I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Now, if you go back and look at the things are the rat race that everybody's chasing after. All the stuff, all the material things that we keep grasping at. No. God says, you have it backwards. If you'll take your eyes off the things and off the stuff and put them on the kingdom, the stuff will track you down. That's what it says. Seek first the kingdom and things will be added to you. When I started seeking the kingdom, my God, the addition and that kept coming. When I was outside of the kingdom, it was all subtraction, frustration. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Now the Amplified says this, seek first the kingdom of God, His way of doing and being right. He says, my way will bring the stuff to you. It's called the enjoyable abundant life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now here's the thing. Remember this, another verse that goes along with this is Proverbs 10:22. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. See, you don't understand that what God's plan for you is, that's where the rich is. It's where the blessed is. It's where the healing is. Now, think about this for a second. Go to Rhema is the beginning for me. That's a very uncomfortable thing for God to say. I believe I was 22, 23 years old. To a 22, 23-year-old young man who had no money, who had no family support, who knew nobody in Oklahoma, who the only vehicle I had was a 1990 Nissan pickup with holes all through it, almost 200,000 miles on it, overheat all the time. In fact, on my way there, I put an index card over the temperature gauge because I didn't want to keep seeing it. Now, I had to check it every once in a while, but I didn't want it to keep, it was talking to me. And I didn't want to see it. I said, I've got to get this thing out of my mind. God's called me to go there, the truck will get there. Yeah. Didn't have no money, didn't know anybody. Hey, just, I can't stand that area. Just don't like it. I love Western New York. We live in a beautiful part of the country, man. Lots of fun things to do and outdoors, if you're, you know, hunters, outdoorsmen, things like that. Just a lot of those things, you know, away from family and just all a lot of stuff there. Just didn't want to do it. And that was a hard word for me. But here's the thing about, see, because some of you won't submit because you're afraid of China and Africa. What's he going to tell me if I submit? What's he going to say? What's that going to look like? And the devil will be chirping in your ears, trying to keep you. See, when he's chirping, what he's doing is he's casting out a line to try to pull you off of God's plan. Oh, let's make them afraid. Get them off. Pull you back. And here's what I want you to see. A few years back, I took some golf lessons. The reason being is it's one of the only few sports that just didn't come, I mean, real natural to me. I just blessed that way. I can't do anything with a wrench or a hammer, but you give me a ball and a bat, man, I can do some things. A glove and a basketball hoop just came easy to me growing up. It didn't do me any good now in life, but back then it was kind of fun, you know. But golf, I always stunk at it. No matter what, I just never had any natural ability in golf, and I'd go play golf because golf is the one sport I want to be good at because it looks so fun if you're good at it. When I play, it's not fun. The balls are going everywhere. I'm wasting money. I'm walking around. My scores are so high. I'm losing balls, hitting them in the water, hitting them in the sand, hitting them in the woods, you know. So someone said to me, if you take a few lessons, you'll be amazed at just how a few lessons will change things. I said, okay, I'll try it. Well, I'm a baseball player by nature and by heart. Well, a baseball player, you grab that bat, man, you just swing it. Well, I don't know about you. You know that movie Happy Gilmore? How'd Happy Gilmore hit the ball? He just went up to it and bam! Well, I used to try that on the golf course and the slice and the hook. It never worked like Happy's did. And you look at the PGA Tour players, the ones that make the big money, that do it for a profession, none of them do it that way either. They all might have little differences in their swing, but for the most part, they all look exactly the same. None of this running up, none of this. That's how they did it. How they do it. And so I said, going to take a lesson, and the guy said, hit the ball. I said, first thing he said to me, you play baseball, don't you? I said, oh boy, we gotta work with you. So the very first thing he does is he goes, I gotta teach you how to hold a club right. I said, I know how to hold a club, grab it like a baseball. No. That's not how you hold a club. And he did something ridiculous with my pinky and my index finger and latched those things together, did something with my thumb, and it was the most uncomfortable thing ever. He said, just do it. Okay, got it. I was amazed at how much better, farther, and straighter I immediately hit the ball just by changing my grip. But my point is, it was so uncomfortable, and I didn't want to do it, but I had a choice. I can go to Rhema, make my flesh and mind uncomfortable, but then watch the blessings of life fly out into the fairway and not land in the bunker all the time and live in the sand traps of life and live over in the woods of life and live over in the high, tall grass of life and the thick brush of life. Yeah. I have a choice. So I did. I started doing that and getting that. And guess what? After a while, it became natural. When I went to Rhema and the blessings and the abundance of God started to flow, it was natural. It was normal. I started to fall into place of what I started to finally fit in life. Going from disgruntled and frustration, it never works out, it's never going to change, to finally fitting in life. Had my calling, but it went through some uncomfort at first. Go to Galatians 2 and verse 20. We're almost done. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I know I preach for about an hour, but some of our favorite TV shows are an hour long, and we can sit there for them. We can sit for the Word. I believe that. So anyways, Galatians 2 and verse 4. What am I trying to do? Get you to renew your mind to sell out to Him today. And the first thing we showed you is He said, if you'll seek Me first, stuff will be added to you. Amen. Galatians 2 and verse 20 says, I, this is Paul talking, am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, I've crucified myself, but I still go on living in the natural. He says, yet not I. He says, I don't live. He basically said, it's not my desires, not my will, it's not what I want. He said, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What's he saying? He's saying, I died to myself, now I'm His. Remember over there, and I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you are not your own, for you've been bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit. He's the same writer was Paul in that verse too. Paul's saying this, when you become a Christian, you die to yourself and you become His property. Now you might say, I don't want that, but wait a minute. Yes, you do. Because the trade-off is hell. You don't want to get born again? Fine, go to hell. That's where you'll go. Amen. Okay. You don't want to get born again? You don't want to become God's child? Okay, fine. Have no chance of abundant life. Have no chance of faith turning things around. Have no chance of all this blessing coming. The devil's just lied to you. Oh, I don't want to be His. I don't want to be His. I don't want to be His. What's it going to cost? What's it going to cost? What's it going to cost? That's what I'm renewing your mind to, because that's what's been keeping people from saying, Father, I'm all in. I'm all in. But Paul's saying something here that you need to get renewed in your mind. He said, when I became Christ, I became a dead man. And you know what I wrote in one of my former Bibles? I haven't written this one yet, but one of my other ones I took a lot of notes in. In this verse I wrote, a dead man has no wishes. A dead man has no wishes. A dead man has no desires. A dead man has no wants. And he said, I'm dead. He said, my life is you. Paul said, I became God's rag doll. Move me however you want, God. Shape me. I'm your clay. Make me how you want. I'm dead. I don't have... It's not up to me anymore. I'm dead. It's you. Forgive me beforehand for this next analogy. Now you're like, what's coming down the road? Well, let's tell you what's coming down the road. You know, I'm a hunter. If you're not a hunter, I apologize. I'm not trying to throw it in your face or, you know, you do your thing. But this is an example the Lord gave me, and just who I am. I got to be who I am. And you know, I love to... Been bear hunting a couple times. Got a couple good sized ones. And what I found, though, is that when that bear's alive, that bear does what he wants. That bear could hurt me. That bear's never going to let me walk up to it and pet it and give it a hug and, you know, bring Caleb over and say, hey, look at the teeth on this thing. Look, here, show me your paw, bear. And when the bear's alive, it does what it wants to do. But you know what I have in my office? I have a dead one. A full body dead one. And you know what? That bear was positioned and put in the place, in the position of its body, the way I wanted. You know why? Because it was dead. I could shape that thing any way I want. Make it look like this. Make it look like this. But I have him standing on a pedestal, grabbing a tree and looking out like a bear does. I did that. You know what I can do? I can go touch that thing anytime I want. I can go up and show Caleb and Abby the teeth anytime I want. We can go up and touch the nails anytime we want. You want to know why? Because it's dead. When you realize at the new birth you died, then whatever he wants to do, he'll shape you any way he wants to. And that's where the blessing is. I said this last thing, I'll say it again. You all need to become taxidermied and stuffed with Jesus. realize I'm dead. It's not me who lives, Lord. What's my purpose? How sad to never find out. Live this whole life doing the rat race and struggling to try to gain all the stuff and all the things and get to heaven and realize it ain't all, any of it coming with you. And God said, hey, I had all this, and this person would have been affected, and this person would have been affected, and your family would have been this, and your business would have been this, and your finances would have been this, but you wouldn't do this plan. You kept doing your own thing. It first starts at surrender. When you realize you're a dead person has no wishes. A dead person can be shaped and moved around any way. I know I got a bear, I got a deer in my office. I could put them in any way I want to. Why? Because they're dead. When they're alive, I can't do it. If you're alive unto yourself, God's going to tell you, go to Ram. Go to, oh, no, that's not what I want to do, Lord. Oh, hey, go do this. Oh, no, that's not what I want to do, Lord. Yeah. Last but not least, Luke 9:24. Last but not least, Luke 9:24. I know we're going a little long. Whew, glory. Dead man has no wishes. Don't forget it. I'm not saying I'm perfect because I'm not. I have to repent all the time, you know, and get back in the plan. But I'll tell you this. God knows my bags are packed. What's that mean? Not literally packed. They're spiritually packed. What's that mean? Whatever he says, I'll do it. He tells me to go somewhere. He tells me to give a certain amount of money. He tells me to go talk to somebody. He tells me to do something in the church. Tells me not to do something in the church. Sir, yes, sir, I'm dead. Not up to me. It's not up to me. I got one time I had someone in this town, someone that's well-known, well-respected in this town, spreading all sorts of stuff about me, you know, got mad at me because I wouldn't start a youth group. Don't you love the town? Don't you love the kids in the town? You won't start a youth group. I said, I'm not starting a youth group because I love the town. Because God never told me to start a youth group. And if God doesn't tell me to do something and I do it, that's where the trouble comes in. A lot of people do things their own way. Unless the Lord builds the house, Psalms 127 verse 1, they that build it labored in vain. You can build something in your life, but if God's not behind it, you're building it in vain. There ain't no foundation under it. Luke chapter 9 and verse 24, he says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. See, now, God's given you a principle here about consecration. What's the devil telling you? Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. What's it going to cost? What's it going to look like? Oh, life's going to be this way. When we've seen today, no matter what God's plan is, it's the blessed one. Think about this. God's plan looked like to Abraham, go kill your son. What was the result of Abraham obeying that? He didn't kill his son, but the Bible says, because you have obeyed my voice, blessing I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your seed like the sand on the seashore. He said, your seed will possess the gate of their enemies and all people will be blessed because of you, Abraham. The path looked hard, looked scary. Think of the voices. Abraham, go kill your son. Oh my God, oh my God. No, I trust God. That's his path. He says to do it, he says to do it, he says to do it. And it led to such blessing. And the devil's just terrifying some of you about surrender, about consecration. But see what Jesus says? He says, the truth is, if you'll try to save your life, you're going to lose it. You try to just do it your way and keep it your own way, you're going to lose it. It's not going to be enjoyable. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will find it. You know when life starts getting good? After surrender. Yeah. Life started getting real good after surrender. You know what Brother Hagin talks about? When he got willing and obedient, life started getting good. You know what Dr. Summerall, you're talking about mighty. Who cares about Pastor Mike Anderson? But we're talking about Brother Hagin and Dr. Summerall. You know what they said? Once I surrendered, life got really, really good. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You didn't know how much freedom and joy there can be in surrender. He says, the same shall save it. So your goal this week, ladies and gentlemen, is to lose your life. It's time to lose your life and to lay your life down and have a Garden of Gethsemane moment. What's that? When Jesus was in the garden and such a path was before him that looked so hard, looked so tough, but he said, Father, not my will, your will be done. Amen. And all the blessing that came from that consecration. What blessing is waiting to come from your consecration? It's time to lose your life, ladies and gentlemen. Amen? Next week, we'll start to show you how to put this into practice, how to put this into play in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. Oh, Father, I pray that people's eyes would be open, that people would see that it's your way. Father, grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know the hope of your calling and what the riches of glory is for your inheritance in the saints. So, Father, I pray that people that are on the outside that feel so caged, feel so frustrated and struggle, Father, I pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them to lay their life down, for them to renew their mind that they are yours and your plan is best, Father. Devil, you're such a liar. Of course you terrify people. Of course you make them afraid, because you're afraid if they actually find and step into their purpose, how dangerous they're going to be to your kingdom. So, Father, out of love for people, I just pray for every single person, that every single person would surrender and every single person would take these steps that we're going to learn about in the next few weeks to seek you, to find you, to search after you, and to find out what is that path, what is that plan. Father, we love you this morning. If I could ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. Before you even think about getting on his plan, you got to be in the family. God is not obligated to the world. He's only obligated to his children. Well, to become a child of God, it's not an automatic thing. When just because you're a human being doesn't make you a child of God. Just because you're an American doesn't make you a child of God. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12 that to as many as received Jesus, to those people he gave the right to be called children of God. So the Bible says you need to receive Jesus to be called a child of God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not going to embarrass anybody or have anybody stand up or come up front or say anything on your own. But if you're here this morning and you could say, if you ask yourself this question, when my last day on planet Earth comes, will I go to heaven? If your answer isn't a 100% yes, I want to help you and ease your mind. Because when I ask myself that question, I know I'm going to heaven. How? Because I did what the Bible says. It's not about going to church. It's not about being a good person and having your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. It's not about being moral. It's not about giving money. Those things are good, and we ought to strive to do those things. But when it comes to Jesus, the Bible says, if you believe in him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here this morning, there's two qualifications to getting into heaven. Number one, believing in Jesus. Number two, asking him into your life. He says, I stand at the door and knock. But it's your job to open the door and let him in. So if you're here and you can say, Pastor, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but my God, I sure would like to know, because it's a tormenting thought thinking of going to the other place and missing heaven. Well, it's easy and it's free. You don't have to become a member of this church. If I never see your face ever again, you still can receive Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here, you could say, I do believe that Jesus was real. I believe he died on the cross and rose again, but I've never asked him into my heart. And you want to do that this morning, and you want to know for sure you're going to heaven. Again, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not going to embarrass you. Nobody's looking around. Would you just lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive the Lord today for the first time? Just real quick, lift your hand up and put it right back down. I see that hand. You put it down. Praise God. See, no embarrassment. Thank you for your boldness. We're not trying to embarrass or put the spotlight on anybody. This is between you and God. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Father, we had two hands. Is there anybody else that didn't raise their hand that should have, that wants to receive Jesus in this service? If not, if you're listening by live stream or on the archives in the future, you can get involved in this. Now, for those people that raised your hand, heads are bowed, eyes are closed still, listen carefully. There's only one thing left to do. You have to receive Jesus. You have to invite him into your heart. Now, you're not going to do that alone. Don't worry. Don't panic. What we're going to do as a church, as all of us together, I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. And if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. And what this prayer is going to be is it's going to be you acknowledging that you believe in the Lord and asking him into your life. That's it. I'll come up with the words. You just mean it with all your heart. So if you raised your hand, or if you're listening by live stream and you want to get involved with this, as well as everybody else in the church, go ahead and say this after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. And you can look up here before we go. Praise God. The Bible says if one person gives their life to Jesus, the angels rejoice. What happens when two do it? I mean, my God, there must be a party in heaven like they've never seen before. That must be awesome. What's going on up there right now? Hallelujah. If you raised your hand for the first time, know this. This is not the end. This is the beginning. You can go to heaven, but there's so much more than just living this life and then going to heaven. God wants you to have a blessed, abundant life, and it starts with finding a pastor who will teach the Bible, let you know what God has said, help you to get faith for it, and then releasing that faith so you can experience what God has for you. It doesn't have to be here. It doesn't have to be me. But make sure you find a Bible-teaching church, plant yourself there, listen to what's being said from the Word of God, and do it in your life and watch God change your life. Amen. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. Father, it's a new day. Devil, we've got you on the run. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, there's goodies over in the old sanctuary. We'll see you all Wednesday night, 6:30. You're dismissed.
Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am healed. Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am healed. You took my sickness. You took my pain. All of it was laid on you. You took my sorrow. You took my shame. That is what love would do. Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am healed. Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am healed. A flow of your mercy, a flow of your grace that lets people know they're loved. A flow of compassion, a flow of your power that comes from the Father. Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am here. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am here.
It's love that took you there.
My seeds in the supply. It's coming back to me, and I'm glad I have a supply.
Yes, my God shall supply.